Well, it was one of our earliest appointments. We learned that we would be leaving our longest appointment. And to say that the girls weren't happy would have been an understatement, but when they found out what town we were being moved to, they were really unhappy. They told me they weren't going to go. That's normally what they told me when they found out we were moving. And so I asked them if they liked to eat. They reassured me they did, and I said, "So get in the car." The introductory interview with the staff parish relations committee was a total disaster. These people were so angry that there was absolutely no reasoning with them. The district superintendent had tried several times to tell them the truth about this move, but they just didn't want to hear it. As we were walking out of the church, I said, "Can we talk?" And she said, "It will all be straightened out by the time you get there, trust me." Well, trust me, it wasn't. We got there on one of those really hot, humid July days, only to discover that the chair of trustees, for some unknown reason, had all the utilities disconnected. Now, they were in the name of the church, and he didn't bother about having the name changed, so there was nothing I could do. And by the way, he was out of town for the rest of the week. I talked with the secretary. She informed me that she was too busy to put up with my petty little problems. It was fabulous. But it wasn't all that bad because, you see, 2 days later when my sister finally arrived to help us unpack, we could at least take a shower. I'd also sent the girls away. I'd had enough of their whining. And so I broke all the rules. I let them go back to where we had come from to spend some time with their friends. My sister and I, we worked really hard trying to get the house put together. And about noon, we decided to treat ourselves. We'd go to one of the local restaurants and we'd have a nice leisurely lunch, and then we'd come back and unpack some more. So we chose one of the restaurants that was close to the parsonage. And we walked in, and it was about 12:15. That place was packed. We'd obviously chosen the restaurant everyone loved. You could hear the noise outside, and we walked in and stood there for a moment and realized you had to go to the counter to order because, of course, the menu was posted above the counter. We walked over to the counter, and I suddenly realized that there was a very eerie silence in that place. So I turned around. And it is not an exaggeration. Every pair of eyes in that restaurant were glued to us, and some people had even paused with their fork in midair. My sister said, "What is going on?" I said, "Just order." So we ordered our food. And I looked around, and I finally found a table with two chairs together, and I walked past people, and I went, "Hi, how you doing? Good day? How you feeling?" No one spoke. So we sat there. And finally the owner of the place walked over. She had our food in her hands and she set the plates down in front of us, looked at us and said, "Who are you and what brought you to town?" So I stuck out my hand and I said, I'm the new United Methodist pastor. And she brushed my hand away before I had time to introduce my sister, turned to everyone in the restaurant and announced in a nice loud voice, "That's the new person at the church, and the other one must be related." And so people started eating again, but there was still no sound. My sister finally said, "Why are they staring at us?" And I said, "Shut up and don't spill your food." So we finally finished eating, and people were eating slower than we were. And we got up and we paid. And you know how in those cartoons, somebody walks in the room and it's suddenly silent, and the moment they walk out, it explodes? That's exactly what happened. We were no sooner through that door than everybody in that restaurant started to talk, and we knew they were talking about us. I looked at my sister and said, "Should I go back in?" And she said, "Can we just go home?" Oh, but that wasn't the end of it. Remember the trustee who had been out of town for the whole week? Well, he had forgotten to leave the keys for me to get into the church. And so I inquired, not wanting to be petty, of course, how I was supposed to get into the church on Sunday morning, because the only way I could get in is if the secretary would let me in, and she had already informed me I could not have her key. And she was not a member of the church. And so I kept asking, how am I supposed to get in the church? Well, Saturday night, I happened to open up the door, and there was a key stuck in my door. So I arrived at the church on Sunday morning, and there was nobody there. Nobody to show me where the light switches were, how to run the air conditioner, which was a very important little piece, or how to turn on the PA system. People started arriving, and I'd walk up and I'd introduce myself, and they'd look at me. And a few of them grunted, but none of them took my hand. The girls arrived. They said, "Where's the Sunday school room?" Nobody told them. Nobody offered to sit with them during that worship service. The usher didn't even offer to give them a bulletin. And then the chair of the staff parish got up and said that there was going to be a welcoming reception after the worship service. And I thought, oh, great. Just what I want. So I got the girls, and they were going, "Mother." And I said, "Just smile. It will be okay." And we went down, and we stood in a little line together. And we waited. And we waited. And after about 15 minutes, I said, "Why don't you two just go get a piece of cake and sit down?" Not one person had spoken to us. They went, "Mother!" I said, "Get a piece of cake and we'll talk about it when we get home, and keep smiling." I got home. The telephone rang. It was the district superintendent. She said, "So how was your first worship service?" And I said, "Don't ask." And she said, "Well, I got a phone call from the staff parish chair," and I said, "Oh, really?" "Yes. She said that this was about the friendliest congregation around, and they had decided that I didn't fit in and I needed to be moved immediately. I said, friendly? To who? You know, I think it was that experience that, well, every time I read today's gospel lesson, maybe I'm just projecting my feelings onto it, but I think, you know, I know exactly how Jesus felt. You know, he was going from town to town, from place to place, and there were those coming up to him. But he knew that people were talking about him. He knew people were saying things about him that they wouldn't come and say to him. They were asking questions that if they just asked him, he could tell them the answer. But why do we do that? So anyway, one day Jesus says to his disciples, So tell me, who do people say that I am? The disciples, I can only imagine they looked at each other for a few minutes because, see, they were the ones who heard the talk. And they finally said, well, some people say you're Elijah. And some say you're Moses or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. They weren't being exactly honest, were they? Because you see, Jesus knew. There were the others that were saying that he was delusional, insane, a magician, or the devil himself. But the disciples left that part off. And so Jesus looked at them and said, so who do you say that I am? And suddenly it all changed. That one little word. Jesus no longer wanted to know what the people out on the street were saying about him. The disciples weren't being totally honest anyway. Who do you say that I am? Now, we always assume that Peter just spoke right up. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What's that? But I wonder, did he? Did he say it that quickly, or did he have to stand there for a moment looking at Jesus, thinking, okay, now what am I supposed to say here? Because you see, Jesus wasn't going to go on until he heard. And the disciples knew that whatever they said to Jesus at that moment was going to affect their lives for all eternity. And so I wonder, did Peter just stop for a moment? And then did he say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Lord. And in that moment, I can only imagine that what Jesus heard was, I love you. I know who you are. and I love you. We live in a world that's much like the world that Jesus lived in. We're surrounded by skeptics and non-believers. People who want to mock him. People who say that he's insignificant and he doesn't matter. But unlike that world, at least in our country, the majority of people have heard about him. They aren't waiting for someone to tell them the news for the first time and to invite them to become believers. Now, the majority of people in this country are very familiar with the churches, but the majority of people are not in our churches. And so we have to ask ourselves why. And at that point, I think Jesus is standing in front of us saying, "Who do you say that I am? What is it about our lives that separate us from the lives of others? We tell people that this faith of ours sustains us and makes us strong and guides and directs us, but they look at us through the week and they don't see any difference. If the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ has come into our lives, then what difference is it making? Friends, he wants to know, do you love him? Do you love him? And if so, what difference is it making? Who do you say that he is? Do you love him? Thanks be to God. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.